Holla ballers and a brofist to you all, you wonderful people. Thank you for tuning back in with us today on this fine Friday afternoon for a little bit of fun, a little bit of excitement, and a little bit of silliness to wash away our week. You can tell my voice is going. It is shredded, probably because I've been talking like this all week because we've been finishing Final Fantasy VIII and I've had to do this voice a lot of times. A lot of hours have been spent doing that. I wonder why. Yes, we have been doing that for days after days after days. But we did it! We completed FF8 today in what has been a heroin cocaine-fueled journey of bizarre storytelling. But we did complete Omega Weapon. We finished it. We killed the super boss. And so many doubters. I didn't realize. I found out after. A lot of people are like, can't do it. You can't do it. Wasn't using X spell, wasn't using X thing that definitely is what you need. It says so in the guide to get it done, but we got there. We cracked the code. We sat down, we mathed it out. I even made a little boss mod for myself on how to defeat it, and we got there, which was very cool. Next, for our wonderful subs who pushed us forwards to finishing some games that have been on our list for a very, very long time, and XCOM is on the menu for next week, as well as Destiny 2 and its new update, which is getting quite a blast at the moment. Apparently the story not too good, people not happy, people very pissed off, and we'll be investigating that ourselves, as well as looking into Guild Wars 2's first expansion, Heart of Thorns, with Project MMO. Project MMO is going to be a long-term venture, if my Twitch viewers have anything to say about it. They're the ones that are going to be basically making it a thing, making it Project MMO 2023, something along those lines. That is what they're doing, and having a good time doing it. Yes, it's been a hell of an adventure. I'm having a great time, and hopefully you guys are too. So we got some very cool things for drama today. As always, we have some cool things. We have an update from a little story called Kiss Your Squirrel. You might remember this, a rager. Was getting very pissed off with people spamming KISS. he took it very personally, got very upset, and apparently has now listened to the retelling of that story, and maybe isn't too happy. Unlucky for you. It's actually still the title from our story last week, so part two. I don't need to even do anything. Unlock. Unlock. Sad for you. So let's dive in here and see what the hell is going on. Have some fun. Okay, I don't know who's written this. Oh, okay, it tells me straight away. My husband and I watched your retelling of your story together on the couch, and we were dying laughing the whole time. Our pleasure. Turtle tanking has a new meaning now, so thanks for that. Nice. I'm going to take that in a sexual way. I am. I'm taking that in a sexual way. And I believe that is what you're trying to say. And so, yeah, there we go. Number two, speaking of Nefarian turtle tanking. All right. So one of the things that came up in this story was this. They had a hunter turtle tanking Nefarian during Cataclysm. I found this very, very odd. Warriors were exceptionally good at it, but we figured it was for the ads. Okay. Speaking of Nefarian turtle tanking, the strategy my guild developed for this was to have his turtle pet tank the bone boys. Okay. Practically all the damage they did was AoE and boss damage. No? Who told you that? That's not true. They had a lot of melee. That's not true. And 99% sure that is not true. I don't know who told you that, but... No. So pets took something like 90% reduced damage from everything. No, the Bone Boys meleeed their current target. They would AoE. Oh, no. You were letting them get hit by Shadow Flame, weren't you? Which empowered them and resurrected them. That's what you were doing. Oh, I see. Oh, yeah, don't do that. Now, that was why you had somebody else tank them and just drag them in a circle, because they didn't do any damage. You drag them behind the boss so they don't get shadow flamed by Nefarian. Okay, I see. All right, hence, we put all the ads on the turtle. I think our issue was when both Nefarian and Onyxia were active in phase one, We had trouble managing that plus ads. There are no ads in phase one. Right? No. There are no ads in phase one. It does say that with a question mark, so their memory's a little iffy on this one. But yeah, there are no ads in phase one. Look, we were pretty shit players then. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So I'm sure DPS harder would have been a viable alternative, but alas. Also, some folks did Hunter Pentax shenanigans to force Fanadrel in the Firelands through phases. Yep, I remember that. For similar reasons. Maybe cheesing the Scorpion phase. Kind of. Yeah, but they should have just died. I think Blizzard actually changed pet damage intake from bosses. Actually, yeah, you're right. They did change it, but it was actually because people started doing really, really wonky stuff. And actually, there's a precursor to this. This is my raid WoW knowledge coming in, but the biggest offender, actually, to pets tanking this kind of stuff was actually the Wrath of the Lich King boss, Steelbreaker. The entire killing the tank mechanic was completely nullified by pet tanking Steelbreaker. You would have three Voidwalkers tanking Steelbreaker. Some guilds did that to bypass the entire fight and get I Choose You Steelbreaker. But there you go. All right, three. Morkbler, the Rage Machine, has been offended. Due to a mishap in the nickname I had originally written, it shared a word with his country of origin. He was mistakenly identified as American. He is not. And that's what he's pissed off about. Okay. It's not the fact that he got clowned on the show. It's that he got mistaken for being American. Because he is Canadian. Right. Okay. I mean, fair. Okay. All right. Fair. All right. The goddamn secret is that the rest of the country of Canada is nice and apologetic because this man took the entire country's quota of toxicities to become the avatar of Canada's hatred. The rest of the country can go on a boot their business being blissfully nice because this man exists to spew bile and vitriol on their behalf. I don't know if this makes him angrier, as he's definitely listening to this, or less angry than initially determined by the chat, but I will put it in all caps lock, he is Canadian, not American. Very important. Our guild loved the retelling of our most famous bit of drama, and it made my week that y'all enjoyed the story. Always looking forward to more drama time. Kiss? Oh god, I don't speak emoji. Oh, it's kiss your squirrel. Okay, what's this symbol? I could show this to the chat and they can help me. What is this symbol? Is that a yogurt? Or what is that? Kiss something squirrel. What is that? Is that a yogurt? Popcorn? A bucket? Popcorn chicken? But it should be a Y, right? Because it's kiss your squirrel. Looks like popcorn. Why would that be a Y? Kiss then a pet. So for our audio listeners, it's like a red chicken bucket with little golden nugget things on top. It does look like a popcorn chicken, but that doesn't start with a Y. Thanks again, and y'all have a fantastic day. Yes, we will. We will have a fantastic day. We absolutely will. Yes, we've got ERP coming up in the show today. Bex assures me it's fine. But we have a blacksmith amongst us. Amongst our many, many different types of viewers. We have a blacksmith, and that blacksmith famously has constructed me a drama banhammer, which is an actual sledgehammer with gold inlay and everything. It is mad, but was definitely a little scary in the storytelling about the vindictive nature of this. Now, don't worry, I do not have the hammer here at the office. It is in storage. It is safe. It is fine. The hammer is secure. Don't hit me. The hammer is absolutely safe. I'm just letting you know that the hammer is not here. It is in storage while our office is under repairs following the great flood. So have no fears. The hammer is absolutely fine. Okay. Okay. Dear Preacher, because I noticed that you seem to be a bit interested regarding the process of bladesmithing. Okay, look. I watched a video on YouTube. And it was a cool video. It was very cool with making, what is it called? Not Moroccan steel, something like that. And it was cool. But I will say this. I thought it was cool. Everybody in the chat who is clearly like a full-fledged samurai crafter was very upset at the quality of the sword being made, and absolutely every single one of them could make it better. That's what I know. I thought it looked cool. I thought it was interesting, but my entire audience truly believed it was of poor quality craftsmanship and would not satisfy their samurai needs, is what I will say. How's the tree? I might have some news for you. And the absolutely wonderful... Oh, you guys are getting buttered up. Get ready. The absolutely wonderful and never prejudicial chat with its sexy and infallible people. Do you guys feel special now? Do you feel like you can't possibly cast any guilty votes whatsoever? Is that how you feel? A quick reminder. I made you the hammer Mikkelir. Did it survive the flood? Yes, it did. Forged my own wedding cake cutting sword. Oh, that was it. You fashioned a sword to cut your wedding cake. It was massive. And I did some very bad things in my MMO career. Smiley face. Yeah, you're a little scary. I'm not going to lie. I kind of want to meet you, though. I do. I kind of want to meet you, but you definitely scared me a little bit. But I like being a little bit scared. That's okay. I do want to meet you. There's still a little follow-up story, which should summarize the events around my dear cousin and bring it to an end, and I actually wanted to send it in already in September. However, some interesting circumstances have arisen for me in real life for a far, far more extensive story. So I decided to spend the last few months working on that. That sounds like a legacy. Is this going to be like a Tolkien-type thing? It's not completed yet. It's an enormous project, in quotation marks. It better not be a severed head. Don't send me a severed head. Don't send me a severed head. And it will probably keep me busy until spring, or maybe even summer, since September. But I'd like to give you a little sneaky peek. As a comparison, I've put my little cake sword next to an important object of the next story. Oh, God. Okay, this is like Star Wars now. Okay, that she is smithing herself Excalibur. How big is this sword? How big is this sword? Okay, that is a giant sword. I would estimate that this is 2 meters in length, maybe 1.75 meters. That's a big mama. That's a big mama. it's a big old sword. Still in the works, it looks like. I ought to have sparked your interest a bit. But it's done when it's done. And with this project, I really have to take my time to give you and the chat the best possible results. So be tuned for my tale. The gas price is too damn high. The wedding of my cousin's girlfriend took place in September 16th. I originally wanted to present this tale as a happy end. Well, the sword I made them made such an enormous impression at the wedding that all my relatives advised me to continue my sword crafting hobby. But there's no way of doing it the way I did it until then by using a propane gas burner, like the one we use in the physics labs of our school. Since last year, the gas prices have skyrocketed, and also it was terribly inefficient when working on this enormous sword. I was only able to heat one spot of the blade at a time. Oh, Jesus Christ. So since September, I've been working on building myself my own forge and kiln, fueled with coal instead of using gas. For this, I taught myself welding. I couldn't do it before. And because I'm me, I'm building out of every bit of scrap that was left over in my house. My kiln slash forge will be constructed from an old fire extinguisher, an old leaf blower, and a trash can that I got from IKEA once. The point of the delay of the story since September is, in addition to the happy end that I think would be great if chat knew that somewhere in Austria, there is a forge. In some weird way, exists because of you, the audience. Well done, dickheads. Well done. She's now upgraded. This is how mad scientists are born. right? Did you guys not watch Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs? This is on you. This is on you now. Well done. It'll be repentance for my sins for building the EMP that I used on my cousin's LAN party back in the day. This doesn't, I've got to be honest, we've got pictures here, guys. Again, for our audio listeners, it's literally an old fire extinguisher and a leaf blower and a bucket. Oh, I kind of see how it's becoming a forge. Okay, the bucket now has a lid on it. It doesn't look like it's safe. It's kind of coming together, but doesn't a forge reach, like, extreme temperatures? I'm just concerned that the IKEA bin won't withstand those temperatures. But I also know nothing about this process. I just know it gets very, very hot, and I'm just surprised an IKEA bin can maybe contain that level of heat. That's my concern, but again, I know nothing about this process. I also worry about your neighbors through the window, who will definitely be looking in, as you seem to be doing this in your kitchen. trust it, it's IKEA. Okay, well, we've got the approval of the people listening to this. What you see here... Oh, okay, let me share this with you. What you see here is the combustion chamber. It can be used as a kiln, which I already have tested. It works perfectly. And gets easily hot enough to melt copper. So it gets to over 1100 degrees Celsius. Can we give a fucking shout out to the IKEA bin? By the way, can we give a massive shout out to the IKEA bin? Respect the IKEA bin. When fueled with ordinary wood to burn, I suspect it could get even hot enough to melt iron at 1600 degrees Celsius. But then I need a crucible not made out of steel like in the test runs. If fueled with charcoal, likely an intended fuel or coke. I mean, respect the bin. Respect the bin, for sure. I didn't... But, I have not pushed it to its limits yet, as it was only a test run. I made a picture to explain my design. Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, I see. Oh, actually, it makes total... Oh, respect the fire extinguisher. No. It's the fire extinguisher that's the gamer. All right, so we've got the heat exhaust coming out the top of the fire extinguisher. The bucket is just circulating air. Air diffuser so the air combustion chamber gets fresh air from all sides. Ah, there you go. And it's the fire extinguisher that's containing the heat. And then it splooges the heat out of the top. A removable perforated lid made out of fire-resistant cement on a base of solid and also perforated steel. This way, the lid can be removed and the upper two parts of the combustion chamber can be reinstalled if the forge has to be used as a kiln again. And the leaf blower is what blows the air in. Right. God bless your husband on this one. God bless your husband. Currently, though, guys, I'm working on a frame to hold the trash can with its combustion chamber in place so that this kiln can be used as a forge. I already have an anvil, 140 kilos of old steel that I got from Poland. But this one I have to restore before showing it to anyone. Are you just foraging across Europe for bits of old shit? Do you want us to get... We could get a drive going. We've got a large audience, right? We've got a large audience. We could get a drive going and we could all send you bits of old shit to see if you can get your kiln going, right? Again, I'm encouraging the creation of a mad scientist here, so I better watch what I'm saying. To my students, I promised, when finished, to cast some things out of bronze since they're eager to see this thing in action. Oh, God, you're... Oh, because you are a teacher, aren't you? That's... Okay. And it would be a great lesson for the Bronze Age. We teachers always teach the Bronze Age in school, but never show how it's done. And I think this will be a lesson my students will never forget. Anyway, after this YouTube video, Preach has a random guy chop his tree down. Keck W. I thought to myself that it would be a neat idea to hint what the cake sort of my cousin to my next story, and maybe he in the chat would like it. Because of this, I've sent you this little description of the project. P.S. If the hammer Michael here was damaged in the flood and needs to be repaired, just contact me, I'll restore if needed. I can confirm the hammer was well constructed and well built. and it has survived intact. There is nothing stopping that hammer from existing. We're all terrified, but I kind of want to see a video of the forge in action. And I think we all do. Like, we just want to see what it looks like when it's going. That's what we need. We just a little clip. You could do it TikTok style. We would just kind of want to... Yeah, there's a morbid curiosity to it, right? It's a morbid curiosity. We kind of want to see the fire extinguisher leaf blower combo doing its thing. And then we'll be all fine. But definitely looking forward to this saga that you plan on sending us, for sure. Collab when? I am not... I've got very soft hands. I've got some calluses, but they're just from lifting weights. That's the manliness of my thing. All right. Let's have some ERP, shall we? Let us have some ERP. It's been a hell of a long time. Let's bring it back in. All right. ERP, the world breaker. Oh, Jesus Christ. The world breaker. And our tale, our names. Okay. Again, I will point out that it is Bex who chooses these names. It is not me. Okay, there we go. There we go. Oh no. It's not me. All right, let's get into it. Howdy, preach! Me howdy to you, my friend. This story, well, one of many, many stories that I may one day share with you and the internet in general. I became a huge fan of Drama Time after watching my newly found friend stream it in our Discord channel. Fuck you, man. Fucking pay me. You know what I mean? You're streaming it illegally via Discord, mate. Fucking cough it up, right? You owe me $1 apiece. $1 apiece. Yeah? Fucking streaming it over Discord, mate. Fucking selling tickets. Yeah. What's his name? Give it me. Give me his name. No reason. I just want it. Hand it over. Fucking streaming it. If I may do a shout out to... Oh, I've got a name. Altete. Let me write that down. Altete. Illegally broadcasting my free content. What a motherfucker. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. I'm an old soul when it comes to roleplay. I figured I've seen it all. From the days of Lineage RP. Jesus Christ, that's a name we've not heard in a long time. To the depths of hell in Diablo chat roleplay. From the shores of MIRC. God bless the IRC chat. To the constant battles of World of Warcraft. But nothing. Nothing. Could prepare me for the power of ERP hyped up on Dramadue. Our story takes place before Heavensward, on a wondrous server known as something. My friend and I had come to this land because of their addiction to roleplay, and I myself enjoyed the occasional dip of my toe into the land of RP. The RP world was wondrous here. FF seemed like the perfect foundation for great storytelling. You had your community events at people's estates, and they would hold huge roleplay events where anyone could join. It was something I wasn't prepared for. Venues were up from bars to clubs to everything imaginable. Eorzea and us had a great community, a happy community, one that I hoped I would never have to say goodbye to. Before we go further in, let me give you some background. The server I was on was originally a sister server. I think I need to give the server names here, or this won't make any sense to our Final Fantasy viewers. The server was originally the sister server of Balmung. Yes, that's Balmung. Okay, I need some context here, FF dudes. What's Balmung? Is this the sex server? Is this just the porno server? Is this where you go? Yeah, pretty much. Tell your crazy Balmung stories. All right, hold on. We're doing a side trip on Drama Time here from Game Facts. When the world first opened up, this is the stories from Balmung. So when the world first opened up, I wanted to see what the whole hubbub about Balmung was. So I visited there and just casually looked around to see if there was any infamous shit I heard about. Nothing. But I did find an inn in the residential area, but nothing really nutty in there. While I was in the residential area, and for kicks, it was dark and raining, so for roleplay, I put on my cult outfit, on with my black mage, low-level wand. I found an Ori and put my wand up like I was trying to curse him or something. He runs away to someone in his Free Company house, I think. I give chase. Eventually, I cornered him in his Free Company room. Then I use my Blue Mage self-destruct spell. And that was the end of the joke, or so it seemed. The joke was on me. He changes his job and was posing as a half-nude man, about ready to sit on my dead body with his butt cheeks. I quickly teleported back to Limsa and logged out of the server. Dead body on the floor? Well, time to take your pants down. We got one more. I mean, that doesn't sound that bad. That's just a normal day for me. Pretty disgusting. I'm a current player on Balmung. I recall one encounter which I met another Lala at Pear Lane. It was a regular RP encounter that led to ERP on the Sands of Costa. Oh, you're not allowed to ERP with Lalas. Wait, are two Lalas allowed to RP? I don't know the rules. Are Lalas allowed to ERP with each other? No, is it just nothing Lala related at all is bad or what? Ain't touching that. Okay, is it going to get into some sort of like anime defense? This is going to be one of those where it's like, well, she's actually 800 years old. Is it going to be one of those? Maybe. It was a regular RP encounter that led to ERP on the Sands of Costa. What can I say? I'm a sucker for people who write very well. I tend to avoid people whose character descriptions are something along the lines of use me for anything, just toy me, or some such boring ass garbage. As that up there put mentioned, you eventually learn to tune out the boring role players who just whisper you who wanna sex ? People. Those are the ones giving Balmung a bad name. So is Balmung like got elitist ERP? Is that what I'm seeing here? Oh, you're boring me. Oh, God. If you're going to come to Balmung, you better be prepared to write me a sonnet or a poem or something. Every used arsehole around here is just another person clogging up the real RP. They're pretenders to this world. They take it pretty seriously. All right. Well, there it is. Now we know, guys. Now we know. Okay. All right. But back in the day, Balmung wasn't as bad as it is today. The RP community was a happy place on those servers. Players would make alts on every server and enjoy both places. Discord would be the world connector with channel newspapers and events flyers for both servers. But as the saying goes, all good things must come to an end. Back to my server, there were two stars in the sky. One was a beautiful white-haired Makote named Mallory. And another star who we'll call the Naru. But these two stars seemed to get along as each happily role-played with the other, and the world had a balance as the community grew. It was a wonderful place to escape reality and enjoy a wonderful new environment of friends. But beneath the happiness, my friends, and the joy of role-play, life lay a creature born from hate and jealousy waiting to emerge. And no, Mike, I don't mean a Lalafell. The specific details elude me. The where's, the when's, I know close, but exact dates I don't. But I do know that this world would crumble due to the one thing that destroys all. That cursed act of ERP. You would think that no one thought much of it. This is one of those servers. It's just roleplay, right? It's all pretend anyway. Nothing to worry about. But as time passed, we noticed. Our server had become quieter, The once wonderful venue announcements grew sparser. The announcement newsletter updates and scheduling started to get further and further apart. And soon, there were no new newsletters of roleplay appearing at all. Our server chat had become just barren chat. And the RP community that was once spread across the server, joyous and wonderful, was wilting to the state of private and free company only roleplay. I became concerned. I want to roleplay with everybody, with the whole server, to feel like a community once again. So I began digging for the reason. Wanting a way to return it to its glorious state, I stumbled across the reason for the decay that was taking over our fun. You see, the Naru was a girl. But she was a girl with a real-life husband. And another role player named Boris Pavlov had been ERPing with Mallory. Not just once, not twice, but constantly, for a very, very long time. This enraged the Naru. When confronted, Mallory swore it was Boris's fault. He was manipulative. He was seductive. But it was just RP. It wasn't real. It wasn't actually happening. It was just storytelling. He knew. Heck, the server knew that Mallory slept with anything that had two legs and showed attention. It was the whispers from the shadows that knew of her RP clinic. Oh my. Oh my, an RP clinic. And that the clinic was clearly a front for a sex hub. But soon this act of ERP passion had taken an ugly turn, my friends. For the Naru and Boris had broken up. And the once fragile line in the sand had become a gaping chasm. Now, you would normally think that these two players would just hate each other, blacklist each other, and the rest of the community would just ignore and move on as another broken relationship in the digital world of online gaming. You would think, as a roleplay server, we'd just say, meh, it's just roleplay, move on. But no, our community was family. We're brothers, we're sisters, lovers and lovettes. We're a family, and families stick together. And so our server decided to choose sides. Jesus Christ. Our peers are just on another level, dude. Our peers are absolutely on just another level of what they're doing. They're totally on another level. Our server became divided in two. Those who supported Mallory and those who supported the Naru. Interestingly enough, Boris got away scot-free. Players who were friends, who were lovers, were torn apart. Free companies who once held venues for one and all to join and escape to a wonderful RP event suddenly became segregated. Soon the server was totally split and lines were drawn. If you supported the other, you were hard blacklisted by the other. If you were seen talking to a player who had supported the other side, you were then blacklisted. The server that had once flourished and grew with a wondrous RP community was a mess. Segregated. Cliques and private FCs having fun all by themselves. My server began to die. Players were leaving for Balmung, tired of the shitty drama that was plaguing our server. They turned to Balmung? We must seek sanctuary on Balmung. Balmung will be our life raft. That's where we'll go. We're going to go to the sexy server and have some fun. Even my own guild was not spared. Friend after friend disappeared daily. And they all traveled across those seas to Balmung. And ferry with each update, a once happy guild of 50 active daily role players was down to 8. When Heaven's Ward and with it came the server reshuffle. My server was changed to a PvE server. Balmung joined the official RP servers. And with that, all the RP fun I'd ever had. All the RP fun I'd ever valued and cherished had vanished in the heat of two players ERP. And still to this day, nobody ever brings up Boris Pavlov for initiating it. To all role players listening, let it serve as a warning to you all. It only takes two to kill everything. Oh, well, if you're going to touch Boris's dirty dick, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. If you're going to touch Boris's dirty dick, you're going to get screwed over. That's just the nature of the beast, right? That's the nature of the beast. It's what happens. All right. This story is a Brexit story. I mean, as we know with guilds, it doesn't take much to kill a guild. And I think RPers are probably a little sensitive to bad storytelling and take their relationships very seriously. That's what I would imagine there. All right. Megazan, thank you very much. All our names are taken from our website supporters. I will make it through drama time. I have the whole weekend to repair my voice, so it will be fine. I come bearing gifts. Okay. Never beware, beware, someone come bearing gifts. Beware, we beware, beware. Beware, beware. Alright. Holy shit, I think this is the first story we've had from here. Hello, Preacher, and greetings to the chat from Pakistan. Hello. I have been listening. I think that's the first story we've had from Pakistan. I think so. Hello, my friend. I have been listening to Drama Time for quite some time now. I'd like to thank you for producing such amazing content. It helped me pull through some really hard times. It's why we still do it. I did consider dropping Drama Time from our show a couple of years back. But a lot of people got in touch and were like, hell no, dude. It got me through cancer treatments, got me through wars, all sorts of stuff. So that's why we're here having fun. I love this show. I love this show. Nothing Drama Time worthy has ever happened to me in World of Warcraft. However, there is a tale I want to share with you, and it would require your judgment. Gavels at the ready, my friends. Gavels at the ready. This tale is from the world of Valheim. Oh, I've not played Valheim. I have not played Valheim. So maybe the chat, I'm sure there's some chatters who have. Can maybe fill me in if I need some Valheim knowledge. A Viking realm in which we have to defeat five bosses at that time. By killing each boss, the players earned the means for farming the next tier of materials required for crafting better equipment, consumables, and progressing towards the next boss. Okay, I'm getting a basic idea. We've got a five-tier system. Kill the tier one boss, you progress up to the tier two, and so on and so forth. So has it got a linear structure then, Valheim? Is that how it works? It's like it's a linear-ish, or maybe it used to be. Okay, cool. The tale starts with my friend Warsaint showing me the trailer of Valheim and me getting hooked immediately. By the time I logged into the game, Warsaint, along with our other friend Dantius, had already killed the first boss. So I soloed it and joined them on their world seed. Everything was fine. We were discovering how things worked and started crafting our gear. At this point in time, we were in what you can call the Bronze Age. In order to make bronze gear, you needed a fire extinguisher and a leaf blower. We mined copper and tin and hurled it back to the base. I made or upgraded our gear. Finally, all three of us decided that we're good to go and begin the hunt for the second boss. So out we went, exploring the Black Forest, killing the mobs and having panic situations when it came to trolls, but we survived and we pushed forward. While exploring, we came across an abandoned building. These usually have beehives in them. So Warsaint went ahead to collect the bee. What happened next was something none of us expected. Warsaint let out a cry. Hey, I just saw a mob! A new one! A new mob! And when I turned to look at him, he was already dead. There was his gravestone. I voiced up. The fuck killed you? All he said was, that thing! The thing killed me! The new mob! Me and Dantius looked around and Dantius started shooting arrows. He must have seen something and then boop! Dantius was dead too. I took up my shield and looked around, trying to see what was killing us. Nothing. Nothing was there. And then suddenly, I died as well. It was so strange. We had never encountered anything like this in the game before. All three of us were now back in our base, gearless and poor. We had to retrieve stuff back from the gravestone. War Saint explained what he saw. He said it was flying and small, and it had a name like Mosquito. We looked it up, and there it was. A death mosquito. Oh, a death skeeto. A death skeeto? All right, let me see if I get a picture up of the death skeeto. Death skeeto. Okay. The Valheim death skeeto. Yeah, death mosquito. Death skeetos are aggressive. Okay, it looks just like a mosquito. Death skeetos are aggressive creatures found in plains. They are, as their name suggests, enlarged mosquito-type bugs that give off a loud buzzing noise. Despite their size, death skeetos are one of the most deadly creatures due to their relative speed and high pierce damage. So you get one clapped by these mosquitoes? Is that what happens? You put respect to that name. They fuck you up. Okay. Okay. Well, now that we knew what we were up against, it must be easy. We now know what it is we face, and we will defeat the foe. So we headed to the nearest portal and ran to our corpses and died again immediately. You see, let me explain, Preacher, before you call us noobs. I would never. I've not played the game. I would never call you noobs. I've corpse run a few times, you know what I mean? I'm not immune. The problem is that we knew what we were fighting. Now we could actually see what we were fighting. But we didn't know how to kill it. So another walk of shame was taken. The Death Skeeto killed Dancius and War Saint, being the champ he is, used his death and took a swing and killed the fly. Oh, it's got no health, I guess. And it felt good. It felt so good. Now, I'm only telling you this little story to build up for what happened next. See, Dancius came back, and this time he brought himself a friend. His name was Megazan. He was a fully max-geared dude, and all of it was fully upgraded. Imagine you've just started vanilla, and you see a Molten Core-geared Giga-Chad. Now, I didn't know Megazan. For clarity for me, for Valheim, you can jump around servers with the character. So these people can just travel to somebody else's world with the same character? Yes. Okay. Alright. So you can invite carries in this game, essentially, I imagine. Your loot is your loot, it's bound to you. Okay, okay. I didn't know Megazan. But it seemed as though Dancius and Warsent knew him. So I was nice to this guy, why wouldn't I be? And we just told him our tale of the Death Skeeto. But this was a mistake. Megazan was God. Megazan was unstoppable. And Megazan was so, so amazing that he had a solution to all our problems. He said, "Listen here, fellas. Why don't I just give you guys gear and weapons, and then you won't have no issues with this game, will ya? Sounds like a deal to me." At this point, although you might disapprove, Mike, this seems like an excellent idea. Isn't the whole game farming gear, essentially? It feels like just cheating. What's the fun part? What's the fun part? Like just getting all the gear. Since we were still suffering from the trauma of that Death Skeeto incident, so Megazan went back to his world to pick up some goods. And he brought along what he called gifts for War Saint and Dancius. Oh, not you? Were you skipped? I remember this incident clearly. We were standing on the shore and the storm in the sea was coming up ashore. The boys got that black metal sword, a pretty considerable leap from our scuffed bronze gear, and they were so happy. Megazan had enough mats for only two, so I got nothing. Fuck that noise. I was not happy. With that, Megazan went away with a promise that he would return. He would come back later with more gifts for us. He just needed a little time. With new weapons, Warsate and Dantius were unstoppable. Trolls were no longer an issue. They were amusing now. We progressed, found and killed the second boss soon after, and it was fine. With our crypt keys, we were all set for our adventures into the swamps. In order to find swamps, we had to venture out of the land. So we built ourselves a boat, and soon after, we were ready to set sail, and portals were ready. At this point, Megazan joined us again. And we decided to make another boat and just go in a party of two. Me and Warsaint went one way, Dantius and Megazan went the other. We searched and we searched. All the while, Megazan telling Dantius what now awaits us in the game. Spoiling absolutely everything. Wow, awesome. What a friend. Here's their overpowered gear. Oh, if that's not enough, I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen instead. What a cool guy. I'm just literally going to describe all the content that awaits you, if that's okay. This started to get very annoying for me. And I bet it was for Warsaint as well, because he was literally describing everything that was upcoming in the game. Anyways, instead of finding swamps, the other party found a huge mountain and decided to climb it. Dantius even got a cool frost resist cape from Megazan as a gift for playing with him. They made a little base to respawn at the mountain and played there for a bit, while me and Warsaint were sailing and looking for swamps. It was getting late in the night, so we parked the boat on a nearby shore and decided to search again tomorrow. But when we logged in the next day, Megazan did not come. So Dantius was stuck all alone at the top of a mountain. He had no choice but to sail back to our base and wait. Me and Warsaint found our swamps and made a portal for Dantius to join us. Farming iron was really easy. Too easy, with the shitty, overpowered weapons we had been given. While I, who had nothing and was poor, was struggling to stay alive while trying to fight a single enemy, Dantius and Warsaint just one-shotted everything. With each death, I started to hate Megazan. I started to hate Megazan and his gifts more and more and more as my corpse kept falling to the ground. That was the time when Warsaint realized what was the problem. And I'm so glad that he came to this realization. The swamps were supposed to be really deadly, and those black metal swords were making them too easy. Warsaint became the ultimate bro. He threw down his sword and made himself a new bronze one to experience the game properly. My man. That is a Giga Chad move. Fuck this. This isn't fun anymore. I don't want to just one-shot everything. Fuck this. What a legend. However, Dantius did not see it that way. Instead of joining us to have a legitimate experience, though, and to our relief, Dantius decided he was going to focus on his streaming career and didn't play with us much after that. As I told my stream this morning, this is me talking right now, in the next couple of weeks, I've got to give a talk at a high school about being a streamer. Oh, man. I've got to write a speech and answer questions. It's going to be an interesting experience, that's for sure. No, we're not filming it either. It's at a school. We're not doing that. But yes, I am going to be doing that in the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a thing. Tell them don't. Kind of. Yeah, we ran the stats this morning. It's not an easy job to get into, let me tell you. Anyway, all right. So Dantius decided he was going to focus on his streaming career and did not play with us much after that. Warsaint and I geared up. We found the bone mass location, the boss of the swamps, and we were ready to kill it. This is when Dantius decided to join us again. The problem was, Dantius was now undergeared compared to us. But as a streamer, he called in a friend. His fully geared friend, Megazan. He said this would be to even it out. And plus, they played together a lot. To make matters worse, Megazan spawned back at the top of that fucking mountain, alone. And Dantius made me be polite and fetch him while he used our resources to get himself some gear so he was at least on par with us. Fuck this guy. Fuck this guy. Fuck off. Fuck this guy. No way. All right, so you've been fucking about on your stream with your black sword. Now you want to get all our gear and me to go and literally taxi your friend who's going to ruin the boss encounter. No. Preach. It took me the good part of an hour to reach Megazan. Is there no Hearthstone in this game? I'm taking it then. Like, wherever you are, it's a bit Minecrafty in that nature. You're there. There's no way of... It's like you got to walk back to a bed or something. No? Fuck that. Yeah, fuck this guy, man. I'm getting, like, actually angry now. I mean, we work really hard to not spoil bosses, but Jesus fucking Christ. It took me the better part of an hour to reach Megazan and then bring him to the boss spawn on the boat. I cannot even tell you guys how angry I was. But, well, I didn't want to upset my friends. They were my friends, so I went along with it. We reached the Bone Mask location that had taken us so long to find. I made a call to drink the poison resistance potions and eat food. And then on the count of 10, summoned the boss. It was epic. The boss was enormous. The music and everything was amazing. The best part was Bone Mask took a swing and one-clapped Megazan in the first 5 seconds. I almost came in my pants. Oh, that's great. That's so good. It was difficult for me to stop laughing. And it only got better. Megazan respawned back in the mountains and could have come back to join us as he had not bothered to reset his respawn point. That's really unlucky. Oh, that's unlucky, pal. What a bummer. Sad. That's sad, isn't it? Oh, he can't join in and play. Oh, what a pisser. I had a way around it, but Warsake made me shut it and we focused on killing the boss. We died a lot. It took us a good part of an hour or so to defeat Bone Mass. To this day, I still think Dantius went ahead and took something from Megazan's tombstone, which allowed us to kill the boss. Oh, you think he cheesed it? Wait. You can loot other people's gravestones? I suppose you can, right? To bring their loot back to them if they can't get back to their gravestone? Interesting. Yeah, that does make sense if everybody's being nice, but you could also yoink. Yeah, you could be a big yonker. I kind of want to play this Valheim game now. Maybe we could make a little crawler server or something. Go on a little journey. That'd be cool. We need to find the blind players again. Need to find the blind players. I'm not playing with anybody who knows what they're doing. Fuck that. I want to be poor. But add it on the list. It's on the list. But it was a victory nonetheless. Megazan logged off raging some way during the fight, and we never saw him for a really, really long time. After the fight, we had communicated with Dantius how Megazan was fucking ruining the game and stop inviting him, since Megazan was his friend. We even had to do an intervention with Dantius since he was refusing to let go of his sword and other gifts that had been given to him by Megazan on other servers. It has become a major problem because Dantius was just fucking up the entire progression of the game. One time when Dantius died, Warsaint inspected his grave and saw that he was using end-tier consumables. We were halfway through the progress, and we were so fucked off that Warsaint and I had a discussion of just resetting and playing on our own server without our close friend Dantius, since he was not letting things go, or getting more from Megazan. I convinced Warsaint that we can just make a base somewhere else, and it's fine. Plus, at least he isn't using high-level gear or weapons. Consumables ain't too bad. I don't know. You guys might know. I'll be honest here. It was not fine with me, but I did not want to reset the world that we had gotten used to. To our gain, Dantius joined in less and less, to the point where he just stopped playing with us to focus on his stream. Are you sure this guy's your friend? You guys seem really happy when he's not playing with you. When I play with my friends, I'm pretty happy they're around, right? When I play with everybody, I'm like pretty chuffed. This is a really good time. They're usually cool people. I'm not too excited when my friends don't play games. It just turned into me and Warsaint after that, grinding our way and exploring to find other bosses. Dancius was moved on to streaming PUBG as Valheim was too easy in his mind. Lord bless me. Lord bless me. Lord bless me. I swear to God. Lord, just give me fucking strength against these gamers. You're not even a gamer. You're a fucking poor. This is the definition of a poor. You're a poor. And honestly, our time was better. We were having a good time. And everything was great until Discord. A message from Megazan. Hey guys, I've done you a favor and left gifts for you. The next day, I logged into our world before starting work, and 4 giant crates were in front of our base, filled with materials and stuff. I took a screenshot of it and sent it to Warsaint. He was just as angry as I was, and I thank him to this day for having that reaction. That night, we came online, took the entire stash, loaded it in the cart, and dumped it far away from our base, which is the only way to destroy something in Valheim, in the sea. The next day, Megazan joined us in Discord and asked how happy we were to have been given all those materials. Silence. He was met with silence. He asked again, thinking maybe we were AFK. And then Warsaint, the Giga Chad, replied, "We want to take this game slow. We're here to enjoy it." After this, Megazan confessed that since he works and doesn't have time to play, he's just been using commands to spawn the mats and play the game. Oh, he's a cheater as well. Jesus Christ. I don't even have time to play this game, mate. He thought we were judging him, which, yeah, we were. We did. Warsaint and I both have full-time jobs as software engineers, and I'm married with a kid. There was an uncomfortable silence where he was hoping we would say something, I'm sure. But we didn't. And then he just left the Discord server. You guys were typing to each other, weren't you? Like, this fucking guy, man. Should we say something? This is, like, really awkward. No. He'll go in a minute. Just wait. He's still here, though. Okay, just don't say anything. Should I say something? No. Don't say anything. Fucking dude, he's left the channel. Lol. He came online one more time as of writing this story, after we found a merchant on our map. He logged in, flew up and straight to the merchant, bought stuff and logged off. I could see him doing this on the map, and so did Warsaint. So the bone mass ride and everything was just him pretending to not use cheats. Oh, he can fly. Oh, he can fly in game. Oh! Oh, God! So he made you, oh my God, he made you travel for an hour to pick him up for that mountain and he's using fly cheats? Jesus Christ, man. Some fucking people are just the absolute worst. The absolute worst. So that bone mass ride and everything was just him pretending to not be using cheats and made us suffer for it. Preach. Now I ask you, did we overreact? No. Yeah, I mean, you didn't react soon enough. Right? I mean, there must be hours and hours of me doing streaming and somebody joins the group who's clearly overpowered, overleveled, and me just politely asking them to leave. I think most people understand that. And if they don't, they'll get the picture real quick. But I can't imagine someone just giving me, like, in a gear grind game, the overpowered shit, right? That just makes no fun. I think we could declare Megazan Giga guilty. I'm not sure about your friend Dancius, though. What is that? What is going on there? Like, maybe he's drifting apart from you as a gamer. That happens. That totally happens. People drift apart, right? Yeah, people drift apart. They want different things. You think Dancius was in on it? Maybe. But I tell you one thing. You've made me want to try Valheim. You've made me want to check it out. We will put it on the list. As maybe sometime in the summer, we will reach that, depending on when my lovely Twitch viewers allow me to get there. So you can put a team together. How big could a server hold? Does it scale? Does it make it too easy with too many people? Or what? I don't know. A lot to find out. 10 people, the boss's scale. It's not like 10 crushes it and things like that. I don't know. Scales with people. Okay, scales with people. All right. A summer of 2025 will play Valheim. You've got to be blind, though. That's the only requirement I have to avoid a Megazan situation. I'm going to go rest my voice, guys. I hope you've had a wonderful week. I suggest if you're looking for something interesting, you watch our progression on Omega, which we did last night and today. It was pretty awesome. But I'm going to go rest my voice and go and hit the gym and have a good time. But back on Monday with some XCOM, Guild Wars 2 and Destiny 2 next week, my friends. So be good, be awesome. We've got some good YouTube content coming out for you, including like a nice history type video, which I think you guys will enjoy. That's coming out of the weekend as well. So be awesome, be good, and I'll see you live on Monday. All right. Bye, everybody.